Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
And I'm glad you're here today. I am ready to preach. I don't know if you're ready to engage with that or not, but it's coming, one whether you like it or not. Turn with me, if you would, back to Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, I believe, is on page 926. If you need to use the Bible in the row in front of you, if you don't have a Bible, as soon as we're finished this morning, come meet me in the library at the pastor's coffee. I'll give you a copy of your own. Been giving away a lot of Bibles lately, and that's a great thing. While you're finding Acts 17 on page 926, just one quick question. Seahawks or Patriots? Seahawks? Anybody? Yep. Patriots. Could care less. There you go. Okay. All right. You're just going to watch the commercials, aren't you? That's what you're going to do tonight. Well, I'm pulling for the Seahawks just because I think Russell Wilson's pretty cool, and I think Tom Brady's not. So there you go. There you go. Hey, one of my favorite places that I've had the pleasure of visiting in Northeast England is a place called Holy Island at Lindisfarne. Hey, has anybody ever been to Holy Island? There's a map that should appear suddenly. Is it going to appear suddenly? Yes, a map? Coming. 3, 2, 1. There it is. There you can see Scotland. You can see England's actually just off the England coast. Lindisfarne. An amazing, amazing place. Anybody ever been to Holy Island at Lindisfarne? Anybody in here? I know you have. You and I went. You're part of the story, actually. Man, this place is rich in history. Allison and I had the opportunity to enjoy a day out at Holy Island several years ago with some friends. I think of it often. As I was studying for this sermon today out of Acts 17, my favorite New Testament theologian, N.T. Wright, in his commentary on Acts, reminded me of some things about Lindisfarne, Holy Island at Lindisfarne. Holy Island was actually the first beachhead of the Christian faith back in England in the 7th century. This place right here is nicknamed the Cradle of Christianity. The Cradle of Christianity. And I mean, there's an amazing castle that is on the point at the island right there. Allison and I had a chance to go through the castle. Great opportunity to just go through and see what's been there for a long, long, long time. And we had a great time in the castle. At Holy Island, if you kind of come back down off the castle and come to some of the other parts of the island, you'll see there's ruins of an ancient monastery. I'm kind of a monk at heart. Even I'm having a haircut for it too, which is kind of neat. And so these ruins, you see that little church kind of off to the left there, a little white church, man, a small church, but just a brilliant holy place. And went in there and just had some holy moments of quiet prayer and reflection. A beautiful, beautiful place at Holy Island. And the thing that Allison and I found out as we were getting ready to go to Holy Island on this day at Lindisfarne with some of our friends is that you've got to know what you're doing when you're going out there. You can't just kind of like mosey out to Holy Island, because the thing about an island is it's surrounded by what? Water. Yeah, and so the North Sea tides come in and out of Holy Island every single day, and when the tides come in, man, I mean the water just covers over the roads there, and if you're out there, you can't get back unless you've got like a boat or something. You really can't swim it. The tide, the currents are too bad, but when the tide's out at low tide, you can actually walk across the old pilgrim path. Or you can actually drive across a little roadway there. But you've really got to check when the times of the tides are going to be coming in and out, because they come sweeping around the island faster than people normally imagine, and they just cover the road. And I mean, it happens fast. It happens really, really fast. And that's like it's just now coming over. And if that car would have been waiting very much longer, those tides would have covered that car. that cover a person. Many people have actually been cut off out there on the island. Several have actually drowned who got caught in the pilgrim path because the tides come in so quickly. And here's the problem with the tides. See, part of the problem is that the tides, they actually come in from two different directions. You can see the road there, and you can see the tides are coming in from the north side, but they're also coming in from the south side. So it's not like you can kind of stand. Anybody ever been to the beach and you watch the tide come in? It kind of gets a little closer. See, if you do that there, it gets closer this way, and then you turn around and you're getting hit from the back too. It comes around from the north part of the island and the south part of the island. It's a really amazing phenomenon, and it's a beautiful thing to watch as long as you're on the safety of dry ground. And man, if you're just kind of waltzing out there and you don't have a guide, you're in trouble. I mean, you're like hanging out all night on the island. And that's kind of neat, but not really. And so you really need to have a guide. And we had a great guide. John and Claudine Rhodes took us out there and got us back safely. Kids, draw me a picture of what you think it would look like if you went to Holy Island and the tides are coming in. Who would be your guide? Draw me a picture of your guide guiding you off the island as the tides are coming in. Maybe even a tidal wave coming your way. Show me what you think that would look like on that day and put it on my board when you're done today. I love to see how you think these things actually unfold. Thankfully, on that day when we went to Holy Island, John Rhodes, our friend, he was a great guide, took us out there, knew the times of the tides, when they were coming and going. We enjoyed our day without any problems. John guided us well. And here's the deal. We all need guides in our lives who can help us navigate the tides and go with the flow. We need those people, those guides in our lives who can help us navigate when the tides begin to come in, when the tidal waves begin to start crashing, who can help us go with the flow, finding our way out of rough waters to smoother waters, and eventually to be able to step back onto the sturdy, dry ground. I mean, have you ever felt like you've been in one of those seasons of life where the tides start rising and they're not just coming from the direction you can see, they also hit you from behind? You kind of turn around and you're like, oh my goodness, it's surrounding me here. And not only are the tides beginning to rise, but you kind of feel like some tidal waves are hitting you. Anybody ever felt the tidal wave hit you and you're just like, yeah, man, I've been hammered with tides and tidal waves before? I mean, maybe for you, what's coming to your mind is you worked all year long and you lost a huge client. Or you lost your job when you came back from the holidays and just crash, boom, here they come. Maybe you didn't lose a job or a client. Maybe you feel like you're in the process of losing your mind right now because you are in the middle of losing a potty training war with a two-year-old, and you're just like going, oh, my goodness, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Please come quickly. And you're just kind of feeling the tides rise around you. Maybe it wasn't a potty training war. Maybe it was a diagnosis that you received, or maybe it was a phone call that you got from the teacher and they just gave you some really, really bad news, and those waters just began to rise quickly around you. And before you can even turn around, you are surrounded by tides that are coming and that are rising around you. And maybe you're even feeling tidal waves that are hitting you, not just from one direction, but hitting you from both directions. So it's not like you can just go, hey, surf's up, let's surf this tidal wave, because you turn around and boom, it's hitting you from that way too. And you're just like, trying to hold on, trying to figure out how you're going to survive this thing and get back to dry ground in a safe place to stand. That's what we see happening today in Acts chapter 17. What we're going to see is Paul and his friends actually are feeling the tides come in, not just from one direction, but from both directions. And what we're going to see is they are going to rely. Paul, the apostle Paul, called of God, is going to need a guide in his life to move him through and navigate him through some rough water, some rough tides, and find a place where he can stand. Man, we were in Acts back in the fall, and when we were in Acts back in the fall, they had just started back on their second missionary journey. Paul and some of his friends said, hey, we need to go back to the places that we were establishing the gospel on our first missionary journey. So they got creative and said, we'll go on a second missionary journey, and that's where they were. We've named it anyway, the second missionary journey. And so he's going back to these places, and we were back in Acts in the fall. Paul had embarked on this second missionary journey. He and his friends traveling back to all these places that they had established. And along the way, we learned in Acts 16 that the Holy Spirit actually redirected their plans. Anybody ever had their plans get redirected? Yeah, you're in good company. He did that with Paul too. If he can do it with Paul, he can do it with you. He can do it with me. And so in the middle of the night, he has a dream of a man in Macedonia saying, hey, come over to help us. And so they change plans. They go to Macedonia. And the very first time ever in the history of ever, the gospel enters into Europe. Because the Holy Spirit supernaturally guides Paul and his friends to Macedonia. In the Macedonian province, and they share the gospel there for the very first time. And along the way, Paul and his companions, they made some great friends, but they also made some real feisty enemies along the way. And so on the one hand, Paul and his friends, they begin to get threats. The tides of threats begin to rise, and they begin to get opposition from the religious people, from the Jews, because the message that Paul's preaching is really upsetting the religious apple cart. Basically, Paul is saying, hey, Jesus came and he lived and he died and he rose again to be the fulfillment of the prophecies, to be the Messiah, to be the Christ, to be your Savior. You don't have to do some kind of religious song and dance to get the hug from God and to be a part of God's family. And man, as Paul's preaching that, I'm telling you, the religious tides of opposition began to rise, and they began to come forth toward Paul. And then on the other hand, you've got these non-religious people, and they start getting upset because of what's happening as Paul's preaching the gospel. Because basically, as we learn in Acts 16, it began to affect some people's economy, began to affect their pocketbook, and people get saved out of slavery, easy for me to say, saved out of slavery, kind of a trafficking kind of a thing there that's actually happening at the Super Bowl this weekend, by the way. Sex trafficking goes up exponentially whenever the Super Bowl comes around. Did you know that? Yeah. It's a major epidemic in our society. That needs to stop. And so the gospel has been upsetting the economy. And so you've got not only religious people, but you've got non-religious people that are hacked off at the message that Paul has been preaching. And man, people start getting upset and they start whipping up charges against Paul because he's messing with the political status quo and economic status quo. And so what we see here in Acts 17 are the tides begin to rise and the tidal waves begin to form on both sides of Paul and they begin to crash over his life. And man, when the tides start rising and the tidal waves start crashing, what we're going to see is even Paul, the apostle Paul, is going to need some help to move toward smoother waters that lead to dry ground and a safe place to stand. So let's pick up in Acts 17, verse 1. We'll go through verse 15 today. I'm going to stop along the way and unpack some things for us to hopefully help us understand what's going on and to give a little more application for our own lives. So let's look at Acts 17, verse 1. It says, now when they had passed through and Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. So it says they came to Thessalonica. Let me show you where Thessalonica is. You see Macedonia, Thessalonica right there in modern day Greece, okay? So that's the area of the world that's taking place. You go, what's the big deal about Thessalonica? Well, Thessalonica was the capital of the province in that day known as Macedonia. And Thessalonica was the largest, it was the most prosperous city in Macedonia. as large a city as perhaps 200,000 people. It was one that dominated government and commerce in that area in that day. Man, I'm telling you, Thessalonica was a strategic city for that whole region. If the gospel could get rooted there, man, it would go viral. It could go viral. I mean, it was a major, major player in the Balkan Peninsula area of the world. And man, if Christianity could somehow get a foothold there, wow, God could use it in an incredible, incredible way to spread the gospel from east to west along a major highway that was a part of that day. A lot of people traveled on. It's called the Ignatian Way. Anybody ever heard of the Ignatian Way? Maybe you studied history, you've seen that. Can we go to the next slide there? Yeah, you can even see parts of the Ignatian Way today. And you see on this map over here, it just runs east and west, and if you could get the gospel established in Thessalonica along the Ignatian Way, man, you think measles is beginning to be a problem with people who haven't been vaccinated? Oh, holy smokes, the gospel would just go exponentially all over the place because so many people in so many cultures and so many nations are traveling along the Ignatian Way through the city of Thessalonica. Through the city of Thessalonica. I mean, that is a strategic, strategic, strategic city for the kingdom of God to expand. Let's just ask ourselves a question here. Let's think about our own life. You're going, that's pretty cool about Thessalonica a couple thousand years ago, but so what? Big, fat, hairy deal. What about my life? I don't live on the Ignatian Way. No, you don't, but here's a question for you to consider. Where are you strategically positioned to become a highway of progress for the kingdom of God? God's got you strategically placed somewhere in your life, in your job, in your neighborhood, with a gym membership, with some club, with a group of friends, a client, family. Where has God strategically positioned you to become a highway of progress for the kingdom of God to open up? Let me ask you another way. Let me ask you from the lens of influence. Who do you have influence with? Administrative assistant, you've got more influence with your boss than you realize. She depends on you. He depends upon you in so many ways. Mom, dad, who do you have influence on? Neighbor, who do you have influence on? Who do you influence day after day because of how you are positioned? It reminds me of something that Andy Stanley said one time. I've shared this with you before, but it's so good. It's worth writing down. Andy Stanley says, your greatest contribution to the kingdom of God may not be something you do, but someone you raise. Who are you raising up for the kingdom of God? Who are you implanting the gospel in because you're leveraging your influence day after day? Folks, don't waste your influence. God can and will and wants to use you in a great and mighty way right where you are if you will make yourself available and you will begin to leverage every opportunity that crosses your path. It's not just, let's see who's going to come. Well, let's just roll the dice today. No, it is a divine appointment that God crosses with your path, and he is looking for people whose hearts are completely his to utilize and to leverage the kingdom of God right where you are in strategic ways. You got one life to live. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. What if progress for the kingdom of God were to flow right through you, just like it was flowing through Thessalonica? You're a modern day Ignatian Way. You're a modern day Ignatian Way. So Paul and his friends, they're in Thessalonica and they go to the Jewish synagogue. If you go back and look at where they'd been before, that's part of their deal. That's their routine. That's where they always go. That's the practice for the first time when they go into a new city. It says so in verse 2. Let's look what it says in verse 2 and 3. It says, and Paul went in to the synagogue. He went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days. So he was there for at least how many weeks? there at least 3 weeks, on 3 Sabbath days. He reasoned with them. Would you underline that word reasoned in your Bible? He reasoned with them from where? From the scriptures. He didn't reason from Facebook or from Twitter or any place else. He reasoned with them from the scriptures. What did he do? Explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the what? He's the Christ. Man, I'm telling you, this is a really big deal. It's a really big deal that Paul would reason with them from the scriptures. We're talking the Old Testament at this point in time. New Testament still being inspired by God, written by his apostles. So we're talking about the Old Testament at this point. When he talks about reasoning from the scriptures, and he's explaining who Jesus was and that he really, really was the Messiah based on the Old Testament scriptures, based on the Old Testament prophecies. And you're sitting there because you're curious as we're reading scripture, because it's good to be curious and go, God, what are you trying to tell me? What's going on here? And you're asking this question, why is that such a big deal? Well, first off, the fact that in verse 3, it says that Paul was explaining and proving that Jesus, the Messiah, he had to suffer and rise from the dead. I'm telling you, that would have been a big red flag for the Jewish people. That would have been a big flashing red light, a major roadblock for any devout Jew. And you're going, why? That's a great question. Well, for Jesus to die a sinner's death on a cross, in the minds of Jewish people, that would have disqualified him from being the Messiah right there. Why? Because in Deuteronomy 21, we read, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. Who's crucified? That's what a Jewish person's thinking. Wait a minute, that doesn't match up. He died a cursed death on a cross, and you're saying he's the Messiah. Any good and devout Jew would have been going, that doesn't match up. But see, what's so cool about Paul is that it says in verse 2, I asked you to underline a word. He did what? He reasoned with them from where? From the scriptures. Let me tell you about that word reason. That word reason is the word dialegomai. Dialegomai. We get our word dialogue from dialegomai. And so when it talks about Paul dialegomaiing, reasoning from the scriptures with the people there, we're not talking about him getting up and preaching 3 points in a poem. We're talking about him sitting down with the people, fielding questions, teaching the scriptures, having something to say, and then responding as people are engaging with the message that he's talking about. And he's talking about the Messiah coming and suffering. And they're just going, you got to be kidding me. Where would it say something like that? And he's pointing them from the scriptures to places like Isaiah 53, this known as the suffering servant passage. He's going to places like Psalm 22 that record the very words that Jesus said on the cross. And they're sitting there going, interesting. He's showing them from the scriptures in a give and take dialogue about how Jesus was the one who fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. He had to come. He had to suffer on our behalf. And Paul just opened the scriptures and he helped to connect the dots with his audience in a way that they could understand. Mom and Dad, doesn't that sound like what your responsibility is with your own kids? Not so much to lecture, although they need a few of those. But don't we need table time with our families? Don't we need to gather around our mikdash miot, our table, and have conversations about what this says we are to be about and who we are to follow and whose we are? That's not the church's responsibility, because our faith starts where? At? It's the church's responsibility to come alongside and equip those kinds of conversations to take place in your home. That's why we're doing what we're doing here at Arapahoe Road. That's why we've invited the entire church family to sign up for Right Now Media. So that at your fingertips, so that on your own smartphones, I think mine's up here somewhere. Yeah. Wherever you are, you can begin having conversations and connecting the dots. If you sign up for Right Now Media, the information's in your Arapahoe Road today, and you get that email back from the church and you say, yes, I want to be a part of that. And you sign in, you log in, you get your little password, you do your thing, and you click on that. This is what will come up. This right here is what will come up. I've circled a couple of things on here. See where it says kids up there? If you click on that, you'll have more resources to help your kids connect the dots with what God's word says about their own life and who they should be in Christ than you can possibly imagine. We did this last night. Jack and Lou, we did this last night, didn't we? We watched a little 11-minute video. Do you remember what it was about? The armor of God, that's right. And we sat right there in the living room right after Baylor destroyed Texas 83-60 in basketball, and we just turned the sound down, and I got out my computer, and we watched Theo, the armor of God. If you go to kids and you click on that, they'll come up most recently watched, most viewed, most popular, and you can click on Theo, volume 2, armor of God. 11 minutes later, we're having a conversation out of Ephesians chapter 6 reading about the armor of God. Why? Because that's not the church's responsibility. That's my responsibility. That's Allison's responsibility. Our cradle of Christianity isn't over in Northeast England. It's at 2011 out in Wiley. It's in our own home. And man, that's why, see that other one that I circled up there? It's called Leadership Events Library. That's where I go so many times just to watch different great preachers, great teachers share different great teachings. And I'll sit there and I'll get fed. Why? Because I need to be fed. I'm a disciple just like you. And man, you're going, my quiet time just stinks and I can't stay awake when I pray. Log on to rightnowmedia.org. Click on Leadership Events Library and let God use one of his other servants and through technology to help usher in some freshness into your life. There's great stuff about marriage. There's great stuff about finances. There's great stuff about living single adult life well. There's great things for grandparents. You name the season of life, it's in there. It's in there. Was it Prego? It's in there? Is that right? I digress. Man, this one right here that I've got circled for home life, it starts at home. Little series by Matt Chandler. Whew. Excellent. And you're going, I need to get on. We've got about 50% of the church that signed up right now for that. Do you know that? That's awesome. That is awesome. That means you're beginning to take seriously faith starting in your own home. Your own home being the cradle of Christianity. And if you haven't signed up for this yet and you'd like to, would you take a Connect card that's sitting in front of you? Would you put your name very, very legibly and put your email address very, very legibly on there and just write Right Now Media? We'll you can just leave it in your chair. We'll send it to you. We'll pick it up later and we'll send you an email this week that you can log on and you can get a part of all this. Why are we doing this? Because we want you to reason from the scriptures with your own kids, just like Paul was doing. And Acts 17. Isn't that cool? I mean, that's equipping the saints for the ministry. The man goes in the ground, the gospel goes on. That's it right there. Right there. Goes on to talk about in verse 4. It says, and some of them that he's reasoning with, dialogomai, that he's dialoguing with, some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. Man, I tell you what, women have such a great place in Scripture. You think it's just a bunch of men sitting around smoking? No. Some of you are going, I didn't think that. Some of the churches I've been at, boy, you got a bunch of men around there smoking, just going, man, that pastor, he doesn't know what he's talking about. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to laugh. You're going, really? Yeah, really. Man, God, the Lord Jesus, values women. Values women. You've got a place in the kingdom of God. And he wants to use your gifts and your goodness to bless other people. You know, all we can do is all we can do. when it comes to persuading and pointing people to the Lord Jesus. All we can do is all we can do. All we can do is all we can do to present the truth. Actually, our job is to bless people, engage them in spiritual conversations, and then just keep pointing them back to Scripture, back to the Lord Jesus, back to the Word of God. That's our job. Our job is to have spiritual conversations as we bless people. Leave the converting to the Holy Spirit. That's His job. That's not your job. That's His job. Bless people. Count your conversations with people and then leave the converting to the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul did. That's what Paul did. And some were persuaded. Anybody here last week when Brian Audio was here? Raise your hand. Yeah. And there was that resource. I think I skipped over that one. ExploreGod.com. Can we put that one back up here? Hello? ExploreGod.com? Yep, right there. You know, while we're engaging in the ExploreGod.com campaign that's going to be coming in the summer and next fall, it's to give you resources to have spiritual conversations with your friends. Great opportunities to engage your friends who are asking questions about who God is, what their purpose in life is. Is Christianity too narrow? Is the Bible reliable? What's the meaning? Why is pain and suffering here if God's so good? ExploreGod.com helps resource you to have those kinds of conversations. Do you know I had a conversation with a 10-year-old in the pastor's coffee right after services last week, going, man, that whole thing about purpose of life, that connected with me. 10 years old. God wants to use you to influence others. Will you leverage the resources that are put right in your lap? Will you engage in spiritual conversations as God brings divine appointments across your path? Man, Paul was doing that. Paul's doing that. And as Paul's doing that, the tides begin to rise. Some men and women were persuaded, but man, from different walks of life, but there's others who are going, I don't like what he is saying. Check out verse 5 with me. Watch the tides start to rise. It says, but the Jews were what? They were jealous. And taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a what? They formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowd. Okay, right here, the tides are what? They're rising on Paul's life. They're beginning to come in from all different kinds of directions. Actually, tidal waves are going to be forming and getting ready to crash over his life. But folks, at times in your life, at times in my life, we will go through seasons where there'll actually be a mob ready to crash in on you. Now, I've never physically been a part of a mob scene. Maybe you have. I can only imagine how terrifying that must be, where there's looting going on and danger happening, physical violence taking place. And maybe you've never been a part of that, but man, we live in a day and age where you don't have to be physically present for a mob to form and for the tides to begin to rise. Man, and you go, what are you talking about? I'm talking about social media. Do you know there are so many mobs that form so quickly online that the tides will rise faster than you can turn around? It can be scary. It can be terrifying. It may just be an opinion that you have. It may be a comment that you post, a stand that you take, an Instagram that you send out. And then before you know it, the tide begins to rise. A mob of anger begins to flood your Twitter account or your Facebook or your inbox. And there becomes a tide that just begins to rise. You're just like, oh my goodness. Wow, where did that come from? I mean, I physically haven't been involved in a mob scene before, but in a room this size, there's probably many who have felt online mobs. And you're just kind of going, wow, what in the world? What in the world's happening there? And verbal violence begins to just flow. Online violence begins to rise and mount against you. And man, what do you do when that happens? Do you start spewing back? Even if what's being said isn't true? Man, we need to know, what do we do when the tides from the mobs in our society begin to rise against us at a moment's notice? What are you going to do if you find yourself surrounded going, oh my goodness? Are you going to get sucked under and let the current take you out to sea? Are you going to get into an online war? Or is there another option? I think Scripture shows us that there's another option here. And look what Paul does. Look what his friends end up doing when the tides begin to rise and the mob anger starts rising against them. Would you look in verse 6, the first phrase it says, and when they, the mob, could not find them. When they couldn't find, you know why they couldn't find them? Because they had been guided out of those rising rough tidal waters. Somebody said, we need to move you from where you are to where you need to be. That's what happened there. You know, it's harder to drown when you remove yourself from the tidal waves, when you remove yourself from the water. There is a time to respond, as Ecclesiastes 3 says. But man, in the moment, it's probably not the right time. And so we need guides in our lives to help us go with the flow at just the right time that'll help lead us to safety. We'll see it unfold more clearly in a moment, but let's continue in the passage here because this gets really, really good in verse 6 and following. It says, and when they couldn't find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities shouting, these men who've turned the world upside down have come here also, and Jason has received them, and they're all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, but Jesus. And the people and the city authorities were disturbed when they heard these things. And when they'd taken money as security from Jason and the rest, then they let him go. So you're going, whoa, what's happening there? They're Jason's house and money, and what's happening? Okay, so some guy named Jason obviously had become a follower of Jesus. He's hosting Paul and this band of men, and they get caught in this rising tide of mob anger. They get dragged out. Jason gets dragged out in the middle of the mob, taken from their home and thrust before the authorities of the city. And in verse 9, it says that they took money from Jason and then they let him go back home. What's that all about, taking money? Basically what happened is the officials said, you have to put up bond money to make sure that there's not going to be any more disturbances going on with these people that you're letting stay in your house. And if there are, we're going to keep your money. If they're not, then we'll give your money back to you in due time. And I can just see Jason sitting there humming the theme song from Kenny Rogers. You got no when to hold on, no when to fold on, no when to walk. And he's going, we need to walk away right here. We need to walk away. We need to let things cool down a little bit. And Paul and his friends, man, for them it was time to walk away, to actually run from that rising tide. But it wasn't them that were doing it. It was the guides in their life that moved them away from the angry tides. You go, really? Yeah, look in verse 10. I'll show you. It says, the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word. Check this out. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were sold. Were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. Man, this is so cool. I love this part of the Bible. This is so great. So these guides led Paul and their friends down the road a little bit, off the beaten path to this little place called Berea. Can you see Berea right here? It's kind of off the beaten path a little bit. Not too far from where they were, but just far enough to get out of the rising tides, to get out of the path of the tidal waves. And they went back to sharing the gospel. They went right back to where they always go, into the Jewish synagogue. That's their normal tendency. And their audience, the Bereans, it says that they listened well. They conversed civilly. They examined the scriptures daily to see if what Paul and Silas were saying was actually true. Actually had a foundation, was grounded in the scriptures, or was it just their ideas? Oh, men and women, I pray that we're a people that become like the Bereans. That we keep going back to the Word of God, and we begin to examine if what we're hearing is actually true. And we just keep going back to the Word of God. We value the Word of God. Would you do that with me? Would you make, don't just sit there like a sponge and soak it up. Go to the Word and make sure what I'm saying is true. Don't just take what your professor says as gospel. Is that what your leader really, really says? Is it grounded in Scripture, or is it their own ideas? Because if the Word of God says something contrary, or if what somebody else is saying is contrary to the Word of God, you've got a decision to make. You've got a decision to make. Oh, that we would be a people who actually, if we hear something that goes, that just doesn't make sense, we'd actually do what it says in Matthew 18 and go to that person and sit down and go, would you help me understand? And then we could go to the Word and go, yeah, here we go. Here's the truth of the matter. The Lord gave you a mind. Use it. Use it. Use it. And saturate it in the Word of God. Saturated in the Word of God. Watch the rising tides of anger find Paul and Silas, even though they're a little ways down the way. Verse 13 says, but when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the Word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, well, they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Hey, sometimes trouble will find you. Sometimes trouble will find you. And when that happens, you know what you got to do? You got to keep relying on your guides that God gives you to move you to the places that He wants you to be at that point in time. Because that's what we see happening right here in verse 14. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained there. Those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving a command from Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they departed. Really interesting. They're just really interested in after Paul. They're saying that his friends, we don't really care too much about them. We want Paul. And his friends see it, and they're like, man, we got to get you even further down the road. We need to get you to Athens. I'm going to come to Athens next week. Because what Paul experiences in Athens will blow you away. It blows me away. And it makes me think about one of my dear friends. His name is John Burns. He's been here before. He's from England. And when I see what unfolds in Scripture here with Paul and how God uses Paul in a totally different way, it makes me think of my friend John. John's going to be here next week, and I'm going to interview him around this passage about how God does some unique things in John's life, just like He does some unique things in Paul's life, and he actually gets him out of the synagogue and into the marketplace. And that's where change really happens. That's next week. And so you're sitting there going, would you get back on track here and help me wrap up so we can head out? Yeah, I will. Well, so what is it that I want you to get out of this, walk away with? It's this. When the tides are rising against you, you got to make sure that you've got guides in your life who will help you know how to go with the flow. Do you have those people in your life? Do you have some men and women in your life that can help guide you when you need some wisdom, when you need some leadership? I've got four or five guys that are in my boat with me that live all over the place. And they're constantly speaking into my life. They're helping guide me. They're helping me think. Here's what we believe God's saying to you. Here's what we understand happening. Here's what we think is a wise move. Here's what Scripture says. Do you have those kind of people in your life? Let me ask you another way. Who are you allowing to help guide your life to smoother waters? Do you have those people that you're allowing, you've given them the keys to your life and say, you can come in anytime and help, give wisdom, give guidance, give perspective? Because men and women, we all need people in our lives who we're doing life with on a regular basis. That's why we keep championing life groups. because we believe it's in life groups where life gets done together. And if you're just out there floating on an island, the tides are going to rise and cover you. But if you get connected with a life group, oh my goodness, life can change dramatically. So what do I want you to do? Let me give you three quick things. The first one is this. I want you to get a life group. A life group. I want you to get a life group. There's two other things. I'll come back to that one in just a second. I want you to ask God to give you a wise guide in your life. Maybe you already know who that is, but you need to pursue that relationship a bit more. Ask God to give you a wise guide in your life. Third thing, foster that relationship with a guide and then be open to guide somebody else. Be open to guide somebody else. Some of you have gone through things in your life that swamped you, but you survived. And one of the things that God wants to do with your survival is to pass on those survival tips to others. It's called discipleship. And we desperately need men and women to rise and to make disciples.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.